I'm going to read from the King James, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession." Hallelujah. And there's some other translations. Phillips translation, it says, "Fight the worthwhile battle of faith. Keep your grip on that eternal life to which you have been called and to which you boldly professed your loyalty before many witnesses." That's exactly what the devil fights the hardest, and we'll look at some things here. The wonderful thing about God's word, it is light, and he's not left us helpless here, but he reveals and unfolds the devil's tactics, his wiles, as it says in Ephesians. And so God reveals the wiles of our enemy, and so we're not left not knowing. See? So we don't have to stumble, and we don't have to miss it, but he reveals. And so one of the things that the devil will try the hardest is to get us to loosen our grip on the things of God, loosen our grip on God. And the New Living Translation, it says, "Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses." And the Amplified says, "Fight the good fight of faith in the conflict with evil." How many know we're in a conflict with the devil? We've been delivered from his rule. I think that's something. Let me jump on that here. Let's look at 1 John 5:19. We've been delivered, see, from his rule, his authority, those that are the children of God. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 19. Just so we're clear. It says in the King James, "And we know that we," it's talking to us here, "we are of God." See, we're born of God. It says, "We know we are of God, and the whole world lieth in" what? Wickedness. Well, some of the other translations, I like this. This is the Message translation. It says, "We know that we are held firm by God." See, that's if you're a child of God. That's if you've accepted him into your heart. And then it says, "It's only the people of the world who continue in the grip of the evil one." See? So even though we're in this world, what does the scripture say? We're not of it. See, we're not of or under the control of the evil one. But we are in a fight. See, with him. He hates us. The New Living Translation says, "We know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one." The Amplified Translation says, "We know for a fact that we are of God and the whole world around us lies in the power of the evil one, opposing God and his precepts." See, that's the key right there. In order to fight this good fight of faith, and we're going to look at some of the armor of God, you've got to know the Word of God. So that when he comes with deception and lies and gets you to do what? He said he opposes his precepts. So what is he going to do? He's going to use trickery. He's going to use lies and deceit to get you to do what? Loosen your grip on the precepts of God. So that's why it's important for us to feed upon the Word of God. And the Holman Christian Standard, it says, "The whole world is under the sway of the evil one." I mean, when you look at what's going on in society, can't you see that? Now, if we stand up and voice what thus saith the Lord, you're called a racist. You're called a hate monger for hating people. How did that switch? See, so the devil has lied and gotten people under his sway to see us as the enemy and as God as their enemy. And it's like here, you know, they don't even see that the devil is the one perpetrating the lie. He's deceived the people to think God's their enemy. God is their problem. Us Bible thumpers are his problem, right? And so we can see in society the sway that he has gotten over people. And what it says, and I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which do what? Believe not." So he's blinded the minds of those that believe not, causing them to think we're their problem, which is the farthest thing from the truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall be saved and redeemed. He sent his Son to die for them. So there is a God of this world, and he's the one that's behind all the bad things that are happening in this earth. And he's blinding the minds of those that are lost. But thank God, we're not in the dark. We walk in the light, right? So for us, we are not under, we live free from the control of the God of this world. If we resist, see, we have to resist. Otherwise, you can open yourself up for his deceit. We all can. We all can miss it, and we have. We've all missed it in areas. And when you think about it, the choices that we made all started with what? Who said that? A thought. So every action that you took that wasn't a God action started with a thought. Now, God didn't put that thought in you. He didn't put that thought in you. So the thoughts that we got, where did they come from? See? And so we have to ask ourselves, this is the fight. It's in the soulish realm. See, if you're saved, your spirit is saved. It's been redeemed. It's brand new. But this mind has to be constantly renewed to the Word of God so it can be transformed so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's a constant renewal of the mind, of the soul, so that when thoughts come, even though your flesh wants to pop somebody, or say something, or respond in kind, you know, your flesh wants to. And your soul may want to. But the more you renew your mind on the Word of God, you go, I can't do that. I can't say that to that person. I want to. I really do. I want to pop them to next week somewhere. But you know it's not right. And so you don't. See, so, and this is where we are here in this fight. And I believe that when you look at even what's going on in our world today, you can see just like in the time that Jesus was there alive, and they brought him before Pilate. What did his wife said, what? Don't touch him. Let him go. Wash your hands of this guy. He's done nothing wrong. And what happened? The people got stirred up. Right? You think you see that happening today, don't you? It's devilish. And so we can see things getting stirred up against Christians. And that's why I believe when it says, okay, that when darkness prevails, what's the scripture when it says that when sin abounds, grace does much more abound. See? And so sometimes when we're walking in this season where it looks like things are not going to change, that's the deception also. That's part of the deception. Your prayers don't count. Your vote doesn't count. It all, you know, how could your prayers count? That's the deception. That's the lie. See? Forget it. They're all a bunch of bums. I'm not voting. That's the deception. And he doesn't want the church to come together in unity and make a voice. And as I like to say, kick that joker out. And he's going to be kicked out from this country because God's not done with this country. And if you go back, as I was sharing, if you go back and you read a little bit, I mean, I've read a little bit about the Azusa Street Revival. And the pastor that was part of that, Seymour, and others, I mean, even Smith Wigglesworth and others, had prophesied that in 100 years, there will be another significant outpouring similar to or greater than Azusa Street. So God's not done. There's the precious fruit of this earth that needs to be saved and come into the body of Christ. And he's not done. But it looks like it's done, doesn't it? It looks like it's just, you know, it's over, right? But it's not over. And I think the devil has overplayed his hand. And the church is saying, okay, enough. That's it. You're not pushing that button anymore. Out of here. I always say this. When you get tired enough of being tired, you'll stand up. You will resist. When you get tired enough of being sick, you'll stand up and say, enough! When you get tired enough of people pushing buttons and just, you know, like being a nudge, right? You're going to just say, enough. I'm going to respond in love. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to let God operate in me. 1 Peter 5. Let's look at this scripture here. I'm going to start looking at the Before we look at the armor of God, 1 Peter, let's back up a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at verse 8. It says, be sober. I'm reading from the King James Version. Be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, so this says here, whom he may devour. Now, and it's interesting here, sometimes I just look at this and stop. It says, seeking whom, right? Who's whom? It'd be anybody, right? Yeah, but it says, whom he may devour, but look at the first word in verse 9. Whom? Resist. So the whom he's trying to devour is the whom that needs to do what? Resist. That be you. He's trying to devour you. Whom he may devour. He's trying to find folks that'll yield to him. What are you supposed to do? Whom? Resist. How? Steadfast. In what? In the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let me read these from some other translations. Maybe it'll strike a note with you. The Jordan translation, it says, sober up and get with it. He said, that old roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, is stalking around looking for someone to gobble up. Put steel in your faith and stand up to him. That means put some stuff to it, right? The Barclay translation, it says, you must resist him with a rock-like faith. The Amplified, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. Hallelujah. The Weiss translation says, stand immovable against his onset, solid as a rock in your faith. Isn't that what it says in the Gospels? It says that when we were to do what? Dig down deep and build our foundation on a what? A rock, so that when the winds come, your house is not moved. It won't move. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at this a little bit. Familiar passage of Scripture, Ephesians 6 and starting in verse 10. You follow along. I may read it in the King James to start. I like this. This is a nice translation. It's the Complete Jewish Bible. So follow along and let me, in whatever translation. This says, finally grow powerful in union with the Lord, in union with his mighty strength. This, I like this in verse 11. Use all the armor and weaponry that God provides. He says, use it all. So that you will be able to do what? Stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, the authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So take up every piece of war equipment God provides, so that when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist. In the King James, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. This translation, it says you're standing against deceptive tactics, which is what it is. It's wiles, it's deceptive tactics, it's trickery to get you to do what? Loosen your grip upon the precepts of God. I want to read something. I don't know, I may have read it in another lesson, but I think it fits here. Take the time to do it. But this is in a book that Brother Hagin wrote. It's called I Believe in Visions. And if you want to write it down, you can download it. It's an e-book, or it's a hard or a soft cover book. But this talks about how the devil deceives, his tactics, his wiles. And he talks about a vision that he had where Jesus appeared to him in 1952. And he talks about how the Lord taught him about the devil's tactics from the scriptures. And he talks about how, this is Brother Hagin said that in this, that he hadn't seen it that way. He said, you're going to have to show me some scripture to back that up. That's what he told Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll give you four scriptures. I'll give you as many as you, you know, this is what he said. You're going to have to give me a scripture to back that up. He said, I'll give you four. But he said here, I'm going to read a little bit. He said, getting back to the 1952 vision God gave me that late night, that night in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. He said, from this night forward, what is known in my word as the gift of discerning of spirits will operate in your life when you are in the spirit. I will show you how these spirits get a hold of people and dominate them. Even Christians, if they allow them to. See, so we can allow something just the same way we allow Jesus into our heart. Jesus went on to say, and he's referring over to Ephesians 6, where we are here, and I'm going to reference verse 12. Jesus went on to say, there are four classes of demons or evil spirits. And he's referencing, Jesus is pointing them to Ephesians 6. He said, they are divided into four groups as mentioned in Ephesians. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, first, is principalities. That's the first group. He said, against powers. That's another group. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's another group, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And the fourth group, spiritual wickedness in high places. So Jesus said there are four divisions, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in high places or in the heavenlies. That's what he referenced. Jesus is showing him this. The highest spirits with which you have to deal, so he's talking about us here as Christians, the highest that we have to deal with are the rulers of the darkness of this world. He went on talking to me about the fact that the Word of God says the whole world lies in darkness, which is what we just read, 1 John. But we who are believers are children of the light and are not of darkness. He referred to a number of scriptures, of course, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what righteousness what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness. And then he goes on to share in chapter 2 of Colossians, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. He said, in other words, Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection spoiled or defeated these same principalities and powers that we must deal with. We don't have to be afraid of demons and devils. But what does it say? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may do what? Have a lunch. So there are deception, tactics, things that, wiles, as it says, that he can try to get people to buy into. But he can't make you sick. He can't make you defeated. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law in Christ. You've been translated out of darkness. You're not under his sway or control. But we have to be vigilant and observant, right? And that's what Jesus is saying. He said here, the Lord went on to say, the highest type of demons with which you have to deal, and he's continuing, is the rulers of the darkness of this world. Rule, he said, this group rules all unsaved people, that is, all those who are in darkness, they rule over them and dominate. And he went on to say that, I'll continue, it says, it's always... one of these rulers of the darkness of this world that possesses a person. They rule not only those who are within the darkness of this world, but they also tell the powers what to do. Remember the first group? Powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world. He said, the rulers of the darkness of this world, they tell the powers what to do. And then it says here, then the powers rule over the principalities and tell them what to do. This is Jesus' instruction. He's giving some instruction or hierarchy here. The lowest type of demons have very little to do. They do very little thinking of their own and are told what to do. Now he goes on, he says, now I will show you how these evil spirits get a hold of people when they are allowed to. The Lord said to me. And then Brother Hagin says, suddenly I saw a woman. I immediately recognized her as being the former wife of a minister. I had been introduced to her and her husband on one occasion. Other than that, I didn't know either of them, and I had no communication with either of them in any way. I only knew that she had since left her husband. This woman was a child of mine. This is what the Lord said. She was a child of God. She was in the ministry with her husband. She was filled with the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit were operating in her life. One day, an evil spirit came to her and whispered into her ear, you are a beautiful woman. You could have had fame, popularity, and wealth, but you've been cheated in life by following in the Christian walk. The woman realized that this was an evil spirit, and she said, get thee behind me, Satan. The spirit left her for a period. By and by, the same evil spirit returned. He sat on her shoulder and whispered in her ear, you are a beautiful woman, but you have been robbed by taking this lowly walk of Christianity and living a separated life. Again, she recognized this as Satan and said, Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. And he left her for a while. See, this is how he operates. Jesus is giving some insight to Brother Hagin, and of course he's sharing that with us here. But he came back again and sat on her shoulder, whispering the same things in her ear. This time she began to entertain these thoughts, for she liked to think she was beautiful. As she began to think along the lines the devil suggested to her, she became obsessed with that thinking. Then in the vision, I saw the woman become as transparent as glass, and I saw a black dot in her mind. That dot represents the fact that she is obsessed in her thinking with this evil spirit. The Lord said at first she was oppressed on the outside, but as she allowed the devil's suggestion to take a hold of her thoughts, her mind became obsessed. She wanted to think, I am a beautiful woman. I could have had wealth and popularity, but I have been robbed in life. And Jesus said, still it wasn't too late. She could have resisted. She could have refused to think those thoughts. Then the evil spirit would have fled from her, and she would have remained free, but she chose otherwise. This is a Christian now. Finally, she left her husband and went out into the world seeking the fame and wealth which the devil offered. She took up with one man after another. After a time, that thing got down into her spirit. In the vision, I saw the black dot move from her head to her heart. And then the woman said, I don't want the Lord anymore. Just leave me alone. I said, Lord, why are you showing me this? Why are you showing this to me? Do you want me to pray for this woman? Do you want me to cast the devil out of her? No, I don't want you to pray and cast the devil out of her, the Lord answered, because you couldn't anyways. She wants that evil spirit, and as long as she wants it, she can have it. Then why do you show this to me, Lord? I have shown this to you for two reasons. First, so you could see how an evil spirit will get a hold of a person, even a child of God, if they will let him. Secondly, I want you to deal with the evil spirit that is operating through that woman and harassing and intimidating the ministry of her former husband. How do I do that? I asked. The minister was in the same state I was in, but the woman was in another state. The Lord said, there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. Simply speak to that spirit and command him in my name, saying, you foul spirit that is operating in the life of this woman, that is harassing and embarrassing the ministry of the servant of the Lord, calling her husband's name. I command you to desist in your operations and stop in your maneuvers this moment. In the spirit, I said those words, and immediately that spirit ceased to operate through her to intimidate that minister. From that day forward, the minister was never again troubled by her or that spirit. Lord, what will happen to her? I ask. Listen to this. She will spend eternity in the regions of the damned, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. He answered, and in the vision I saw her go down into the pit of hell, and I heard her awful screams. My God. This woman was your child, Lord. She was filled with your spirit and had part in the ministry. Yet you said not to pray for her. I cannot understand this. The Lord reminded me of the following scripture. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them, give life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he should pray for it. So I took the time to read that because Brother Hagin, which of course we all considered a modern day prophet, had seven visitations from Jesus, the head of the church, and he shared these things for our benefit so that as we walk through life, we're going to be confronted with thoughts. And if you turn over to just for a moment, turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to go back to Ephesians, but 2 Corinthians 10. Says, for, I'm reading from the King James, says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not a flesh fight. It's not a fist fight. It says here, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are we supposed to do? Casting down imaginations. That's what those were, imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, what? Every thoughts. That's where the warfare is. It's thoughts, imaginations. It's every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which is why it's important for us to feed upon the Word of God, which is going to help us confront. I heard this minister say, I thought it was pretty funny. He said, every person needs to have a bouncer in their mind, or a bouncer at the door. I thought that was pretty good. That's the kind of, you know, some of us, you know, in your BC days, I guess you say, you go party, there's a bouncer at the door, right? He may let you in, he may not, right? So we all need to have a bouncer in the door of our mind. Something try to get in, you go, boom, out, cast you down, punch you out, right? So he tries to make us think thoughts that are not of God and are not from the Lord. Some of the other translations, and we're going to, let's go back to Ephesians. Wanted to go back to that again. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 12. says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against. See, I like that we resist, right? Principalities, again, we resist or against powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Withstand, or do what? Resist, is really what that's saying, in the evil day, and having done all to stand, or you could say resist. The complete Jewish Bible says, so take up every piece of war equipment. See, I like the way the complete Jewish Bible says. So take up every piece of war equipment God provides, so that when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist. So there's some equipment that we have to put on. And then it continues, and when the battle is won, you will still be standing. Therefore stand, having the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So we're going to start looking at the armor of God here. All of the war equipment of God. So we have the buckle. This is the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And you put on what? Righteousness for a breastplate. In the King James, it says here, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's why it's so important that when deception comes, you know the what? The truth. See? And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. So the significance of truth and righteousness. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. And, of course, you're familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when he comes and tells you, you're not righteous, you've done this, you've done that, just almost the deception, you know, here's the thing, he will bring up your past. And all of the raggedy things that we've done, should have done, didn't do, or did. And he's going to tell you, you're not righteous. God doesn't love you. And you've got to be armed with truth, the belt of truth, and the breastplate of righteousness to resist. And say, no, he made me righteous. No, I'm not righteous. I had no reason to be made righteous except him. In my own self, I couldn't be made righteous. But he made me righteous. He became sin for me. And so we need to be armed with the truth. And sometimes he will continue to come with the thoughts, and just like in this story here with this lady, he will come, he'll come back again, you resist, he comes back again. So he's going to try and find those things that you may want to entertain. And for every one of us, it's different. Every one of us, there's something that we may think about or say, boy, I wish I did that. Or sometimes if we just don't voice those things. I should have done this, or I wish I did that, I should have done this. And also, you know, think about it, you know, your life, there are, just like there are angels that are assigned to protect us, there are spirits that, you might call familiar spirits that are familiar with you and are assigned to do what? Trip us up. That's the assignment. So we're to do what? Be vigilant, be sober, and be aware that you have an enemy. You don't have to be afraid of him, but you need to be aware. He's deceptive, and you could say it this way, he's a master at deception. He's deceived this earth. And so if we're not careful, if we're not, when I say careful, if we're not armed with, maybe that's a better way of saying it, it's not being careful, it's being armed with the equipment of God, the war equipment. So if I have truth in my heart, then when an untruth comes, I'm like, oh no, no. Be content. And if you're content, then he can't tempt you with stuff. He can't. Whatever that is. So we need to be armed, as we say here, armed with truth. As you say, it says here, from with the belt, of the, we're girt about with truth. Some of them say the belt of truth is what the complete Jewish Bible says. So that belt covers our midsection, and that breastplate covers our area here. So that covers us with truth and righteousness. Amen. I tell you, this is the area that the devil fights the hardest in. And I like this particular scripture in that we were over there before looking at this in 2 Corinthians 10. When it says, this is the Amplified, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." And this is what I like. This is in the Amplified, verse 5 of chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. It says, "We are destroying sophisticated arguments." That is right there. You can turn on the television, and every minister of the gospel, it could be somebody, I mean, even now, you see some of the politicians that get up that don't align with the world's way of thinking, and they want to ask him, "Well, what do you think about this?" And they have a sophisticated argument for your position. And so you better be armed with the truth. Otherwise, you're deceived. Because God's truth will stand. And every tongue and every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. This is Proverbs. I'll close with this. Proverbs 119. Proverbs 119, verse 142. "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. So that means when you were made righteous that with an everlasting righteousness. And it says here, "And thy law is truth." So his truth will stand. His word has been settled in heaven. So when we start to say, well, maybe we've already embraced a lie. The world may not understand. They may not understand why you stand for certain things, for righteousness. You may stand and people take issue with that. But I believe, isn't it over in 1 Peter? Is it 1 Peter? That says Noah was what? a preacher of righteousness. Even with all the darkness and stuff that was going on, he stood up for the truth. He stood up for righteousness. And in today's society, we have to stand up for the truth. We have to stand up for righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.